the Lord, everybody. I guess this is the microphone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise God. The title of my message is, You Must Be Out of Your Mind. Praise God. Unfortunately, over the years, I've had several people mention that to me. That was B.C. That was before Jesus got a hold of me. Now I hear it less frequently, but it is good to be here bringing you the Word of the Lord. Tonight's going to be a Bible study. Hopefully there's someone here that could use this information. It challenges me every time I read some of these scriptures. So let's dive into this. The text tonight comes from Luke 10:25. Through 28. The Bible says, And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. I want to bring your attention to the question. The question was, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? So this obviously is a very important passage of Scripture. There's several other in Matthew and Mark. There's also an excerpt from this. But I wanted to bring you this one because I want to get your attention. Jesus said, If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's important that we understand that our obedience to Jesus Christ's commandments is the only barometer that he uses to determine our love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So even though this is an open book test at the end of our life, God doesn't grade it on a curve, so you have to remember that one of these days you're going to have to give an account for your life based upon the open book. Problem with in college, I've had some of those classes that have an open book test, but you know, if you haven't cracked the book, it really doesn't make any difference if you can bring your book into class because you don't know what they're talking about anyway. And so many people have Bibles, and I think for a lot of them, they're not really sure what their responsibilities are. But the question I ask you tonight is, do we really love Jesus with all of our mind? We talk many times about loving with all our heart, all of our soul, but very seldom do we talk about all of our mind. The mind's a little thing that's up there now. Running around while you're sitting here listening to this message. And part of that mind's thinking about tomorrow's activities and other things that are going on in your life or perhaps things that you're not even thinking about could be causing you to let your mind stray. It's hard sometimes to focus. What is really going on in your mind? Praise God. So what we want to do tonight is give you some ideas. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God, so we can't take this lightly. When we come to God through the new birth, the Bible tells us that we can literally be transformed. And not only that, the Bible tells us that we have access to the mind of Christ through the new birth experience. Now, that is an amazing statement to me. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but the God who said, Let there be light and created the universe has given us, if we'll do the things he's asked us to do, we can actually know what God's wanting us to do. We can have the mind of Christ. Wouldn't it be nice if you got a telephone call in the morning and it was God and he said, Pastor Thomas, 9:30 I want you to call this and then at 12:35 there's a person down there on Spate Street who needs the Lord. And those things, you know, we wouldn't you just love to be able to get that kind of information from God? But you know what? You look through the book of Acts and you see that there was a lot of that going on. Go down to the street called Straight. Look at this. Look at that. He gives them instructions through the Holy Ghost. And that's what I'm looking for tonight. I don't want to do church as usual. I want to be able to have the mind of Jesus Christ. You know, we're born with a natural mind. The Bible calls it the carnal mind. Praise God. And that, unfortunately, regardless of how spiritual you become, you will never put the carnal mind. It'll always be there. And the Bible tells us that that carnal mind, that mind that we received at birth, Romans 8:7, the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, there's a war going on. And that war never ceases. Now, it's easy to forget that we're always going to have a carnal mind, because sometimes we get so spiritually minded we're no heavenly good, because we think we're almost perfect because we happen to be baptized and filled with God's Holy Spirit. The best we can do with this carnal mind is to build a wall around it and put it inside of there and guard that wall like a junkyard bulldog. Don't let that mind wander here, there, and everywhere. Keep yourself guarded. Don't let that mind get out. The Bible says in Romans 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you're here tonight and you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I need you to let you know that you have to have it to get into heaven. Praise God. The Bible tells us that Paul made mention that he died daily. Every day, that mind, our human nature, our carnal human nature is going to want to rise up. He's going to start us doing things, thinking about things that we don't want to be thinking about. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 22nd verse, Paul exhorts us to put off the former conversation, that old man, the old way we used to live, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. You know, lust can deceive your mind in thinking everything's okay. And the Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What happens if you haven't renewed the spirit of your mind? What happens if you just let the mind just kind of wander down life's path? You've got a problem. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, the problem that I see, at least in my life, that I need to be able to focus every day, part of my day, on renewing my mind. Bible says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Constantly, what does it mean to renew your mind? You renew your mind by the washing of regeneration by the Holy Ghost, but more than that, you need to put into your mind the Word of God. You need to put it in there on a daily basis. You need to figure out what your problems are. Why am I thinking the way I'm thinking? How come I'm having these issues or problems? Okay, that's no problem to have a problem. The problem is we don't do anything about it. How are we going to change it? What are we going to do on our part? God won't do anything you're not willing to do. He'll go so far with you, but you must discipline yourself. And we've been listening to this for the last couple of months, some excellent teaching and preaching from our pastor and some of the other ministers. We have the ability to renew our mind, and we can actually know the perfect will of God. What a blessing it is. You know, sometimes I've talked to people who've had 25 years in Pentecost and they're still trying to determine God's will for their mind. What does God want me to do? How am I supposed to do all this? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. What is transformed? It's not the transformers. the car thing that goes all whackety-whack. It's about looking at the biblical picture of what God wants from you as a man or a woman of God. And then you look at yourself, and then you're honest with yourself and say, wow, I've got some things I need to work at. And we do that periodically. And then we sort of let our mind get on something else, like our vacation or something that's really, really important, has a lot of eternal value. And then we find ourselves, why am I doing this? Why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? Well, maybe it's because you haven't renewed your mind for a couple months. Maybe there's some gears that are clogged up there. You need to put a little Holy Ghost oil on it and let it lubricate a little bit. You know, every day we're bombarded by the world and the things of the world. Things are coming at us in rapid fire pace, and with the advent of the computer and the iPhone thing, I had to get off of Facebook because somehow I got clogged up with all these, not just messages from people, but these ads are coming in 1,000 a day. And then there's all these little funny little video clips. And I said, why am I looking at this stuff? Well, it's interesting, but it's clouding my mind up. It's hard to keep your mind on Jesus Christ. It's hard to remember that there are millions of people in this world that are depending upon you to intercede for them, to love them, to minister to people all around you. And if you don't have your mind renewed in Jesus Christ, you won't even think about other people. It won't even be a problem for you. You could become numb to those things because your mind is just encompassed with your life and your problem and the things that are going on in your life. That's what's going on in your mind. Praise God. This daily battle, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? What would Jesus watch? 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, the Bible says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? And this is the mind blower on that scripture. But we have the mind of Christ. When we were baptized into the precious name of Jesus Christ and filled with his Holy Ghost, we don't have it immediately, but we have access to the mind of Christ. That to me is an amazing statement, access to. And if we understand that, then we can begin to purposefully set out every day to seek after the mind of Christ, to let the Spirit of God bathe you. You know, I don't know about you, but particularly when I had my business, I had all these guys working for me and 15 jobs going, and my mind was spinning half the time, trying to determine what I'm going to do next, where I'm going to put these men, where I'm going to get men, how am I going to pay my bills. And to be honest with you, I'm so happy that I got out of construction, Tim. Because it, you know, if you're a responsible individual, you're going to want to do the very best you can, and you want to fulfill the task that is in front of you. But if the task that's in front of you keeps you from putting your whole mind on Jesus Christ, may I tell you, friend, it doesn't get better, it gets worse. Prosperity isn't always the best answer to spirituality. I hear people say, yeah, I want my own business, I want this, I want that. I say, well, before you get your business, you need to sit down and ask yourself, how much of a price am I willing to pay for this business? Because eventually, because you're a born-again son or daughter of the living God, God's going to bless you. If you have integrity and you're doing the things that you know you need to do, I've never seen a born-again Christian whose business didn't flourish. The problem is a lot of them lost out on the very fact. Their mind got so consumed with business and money and the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life. All things that we have to be concerned with, but not consumed with. Praise God. So it's important that we understand. We need to know, you know, I was going to title this message, what's in your wallet? Or what's in your mind? And really, we need to understand that. Excuse me. Our problem today is that these useless statistics and politics are coming at us 90,000 miles an hour. I'm so sick of hearing about Donald Trump and Donald Trump. I don't know. It doesn't make any difference to me. I can't change any of that. Why should I spend any of my mind? I only have a certain portion that I can give to that stuff. But I know people who are consumed with it. They can't wait to get on a left or right radio station and listen to it all day long, and they become so inflamed that their mind, they're walked right by people who are dying and going to hell. Does that make any sense? What's in your mind today? Praise God. And then on top of that, we have to deal with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And then we need to remember that we have to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. I'm not getting into all of our heart or all of our strength. I'm getting in just one small portion of that. Loving him with all of your mind. Praise God. Think about this for a minute. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, and we are the body. The Bible says God no longer dwells in temples made with hands, but he's dwelling inside of each one of us. We have become the temple of God. The Spirit of God actually dwells inside of us. If you don't renew your mind on that daily, it's going to be hard to stay in the right spiritual frame of mind, because other things will creep up into you and you'll forget that we have a mission here. This is not an optional thing. This is a mission that God's given us to proclaim the gospel to the whole world, to seek and save that which is lost. Praise God. And if we're not careful, we'll forget about all that. So we are the temple of God. We have been ordained to use our hands to lay hands on the sick and recover, to lift up our hands and praise God, to use our feet for the preparation of the gospel, to lead our ears that we can hear the mind of God. Praise God. Then we get into the book of Philippians, the second chapter. Here's another scripture that stuns me. I can't wrap my head around it. I look at it, and I keep asking myself, he couldn't possibly be meaning me. Because I look at myself and I think, why would God want me to be equal with him? Why? Have you ever come to the point where you know God wanted you to do something and you said, oh, he'd never give me this power. You walk by someone in the mall who's sick or in a wheelchair, and a little boy says you, go pray with him. But they might get offended, and your mind's filled with fear and you don't want to do it. Praise God. Philippians 2 and 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord in one mind. There is so much power in being in one accord in one mind. You can follow it through just relationship after relationship with your wife, with your entire family, with the body of Christ. There's power in oneness. Let this mind be in you. Here's where it gets a little difficult for me to wrap my mind around it. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. So this is the mind that Christ Jesus had. Well, I can accept that. That's Jesus. That's different. But he doesn't end there. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Whew. So let this mind be in Glenn Uselman. Put your name in there. Let this mind be in Rich Thomas, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus Christ had the revelation. His mind was focused on the fact that he had the authority and the power delegated to him that would allow him to work God's will out on the planet Earth. And we, as members of his body, and he is the head, we have been given that same criteria. But try to wrap yourself around that with circumstances of life, and it becomes a nightmare sometimes. You know why? Because we try to process everything through who we are. We know all of our weaknesses because the devil lets us know every day about our weaknesses. We know all about the things we've done on the other side of the cross, and he loves to drag that behind people and let them feel that they're not forgiven or they have done some kind of... I've had people say, I'm going to stop coming to church. I said, why is that? I did the unpardonable sin. I said, well, do you know what the unpardonable sin is? No, but I just know that I have. Where did that thought come from? How did that creep into your mind? Oh my. Oh me. Thought of not robbery to be equal with God. What a powerful scripture. Does anybody think that's powerful besides me? That challenged me. I can't stand by that scripture and not say, now God, I don't understand this. I don't understand how to work this in my life. I don't know how to get this into my mind, but I want it in my mind. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and they see there's so much more than what we've experienced. Don't ever get to the point where you think you've arrived in this Pentecostal religion. You just have to go to the book of Acts and you see how they operated. They had the mind of Christ because Christ, through the Holy Ghost, was talking to them, telling them where to go and what to do. Praise God. Not robbery to be equal with God. Oh, my goodness. I believe more than ever since Pastor Roy took over the church that God's bringing this church back to the book of Acts. He's drawing us back to the point where we are going to, you know, this is the end times. I think everybody knows that, unless you haven't renewed your mind recently and don't understand any prophetic things that are going on. But even if you don't know anything about prophecy, if you don't know anything about the world, even the people in the world says, do you think this might be the end time? Or this is an end time war. This is an end time prophecy coming to pass. This is the end times. This is coming to a quick close. And if we're not careful, if we don't shake ourselves, if we don't ask ourselves, where's my mind at? How come I'm not more excited? How come I do not have more passion for the lost? How come, you know, listen, but Paul said, I die daily. You just need to die a little bit. You need to allow the Spirit of God to get inside of your heart and stir you up. Amen. Thank you. It's all right. Think about the book of Acts. What happened on the book of Acts? In the Acts, the 10th chapter, both Peter and Cornelius were talked to by the Holy Ghost with instructions of what to do. Boy, I'd like to have that. Wouldn't you? God, use me today. Go down to Blount Street. Go up the second floor. This guy up there wants to commit suicide. Talk to him. Oh, okay. Go down to a street called Straight. Peter's in Lystra. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost said, hey, Peter, there's a guy over there that has enough faith to receive his healing. Huh? That's the mind of Christ. That's the mind that we have access to. Not that we have it, but if you're not looking for it, if you're not trying to receive the mind of Christ, you're going to be stuck with the mind that's sitting on top of your shoulders. Woo, that's frightening. Not really. So, we know what happened in the book of Acts. We can see in look at the things that have happened and we're wondering, oh God, can I get to that point? Yes, you can. I say, yes, you can. You can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. This is why our pastor has been encouraging us to pray without ceasing. Why is that? To fast, to put our carnal mind in a spiritual cage with high walls. Keep them up so high you can't get out. Why do you want that stinking thinking in your life anyway. Don't be hanging around basement people. Hang around balcony people. Balcony people will pull you up. This is a John Grantism. Basement people pull you down. Praise God. So be careful who you hang with, because pretty soon you'll be thinking like they think. And you don't even know it. And you'll be bombarded with spiritual forces that you're not going to be ready to handle. Praise God. You know, there's so many times, I'm convinced now that we as the body of Christ are waiting for God to answer our prayers. We're waiting. But if we carefully look at what he's given us, he's waiting for us to exercise the authority that he's already given us. If you need a healing, take your hands and lay them on your chest and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command this sickness, disease, virus to get out of me. Why do you think Brother Crowder is traveling all over the world? That's his basic story, or his basic method of evangelism. He doesn't try to bring anything into a person's heart except, listen, ye shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you're promised peace that passeth all understanding, get out your big size 11 mitt and say, Lord, I'm not feeling this. I'm not feeling peace. I'm not feeling joy. My mind's got a clog in it. I'm asking you to take this clog out. I'm asking you to let the oil of the Holy Ghost take all that junk out of me. I am determined to have the mind of Christ. I'm not going to settle for anything less. Well, how long are you going to work at this, Brother Thomas? Until it happens. Maybe I'll be taking my last gasp of breath, and it will not have happened, but at least we're striving toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I want to be there. I want to be able to reach out to people, not for any personal glory, but I love to see people delivered. I love to see people saved. I love to see people come out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what we do. That's how we survive. That's what puts passion in our hearts. If we can get our mind off of self, keep our mind on, turn your eyes on Jesus, look full into his wonderful face, and the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Praise God. You say, well, I didn't feel that today. So what? Get up in the morning and start it all over again. Don't keep day after day going backwards. Go forward. You say, I don't know if I can do that. Sure you can. If there was a 600-pound grizzly bear chasing you, I'll guarantee you could run at least one step faster than the grizzly bear. If nothing else, let fear be your motivator. Hey, this is an eternal contest we're in. Where you are going to spend eternity will be determined by how you respond today. If you don't change anything today, the chances are you're not going to change anything tomorrow. If you don't change anything tomorrow, you're going to wake up one day and it's going to be the last day. Well, I think I'm going to live another 50 years. You don't know when you're going to go. You don't have any idea how this is going to turn out. But the only thing we do know is we need to be ready. You think God doesn't see the hidden things of dishonesty in our life? Come on. Who told you you were naked? Did God really need to ask that question? No. He knew who told them. Who told you that you couldn't make it to the end of this journey? Who told you that you could never have the mind of Christ? Who told you that this is the highest level of spirituality that you can have? Get out of your comfort zone and take life by the horns. Praise God. If we do have the mind of Christ, when he speaks, we'll lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. We'll speak to our rotten financial situation and command the devil to take his hands off of our finances. I know people that have never progressed financially and they don't get it yet. They don't understand. It's not always about tithing. It's about a spirit world out there that does everything it can to destroy you. It doesn't make any. He doesn't care whether he does it through depression. He doesn't care if he does it by finances. He doesn't care if he's destroyed your marriage and you're depressed. All that, it's just part of the game. It's part of the plan he has. Everybody's got a different weakness. Everybody's got a different situation. But the bottom line is, what's in your mind right now? I can guarantee you, if it's not Jesus Christ, then you're weighed down by the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. Something's going on in there that needs to be put under the blood. And you need to seriously write down what's going on. Get into the book. This is an open book test. I mentioned that before. God doesn't grade by the curve. Praise God. This is not a multiple choice. You have one choice. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father above all, through all, and in you. And why not make the choices that will lead you to eternal life? It seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? But listen, we're fighting fallen human nature. It doesn't work quite the way we'd like it to. We think sometimes because we are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost that everything's going to be okay. No, that doesn't mean it. All it means is that you have been given the hope of salvation. You've been given the opportunity to get the mind of Christ. You have been given the opportunity to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I know some people that thrive on depression. That's all they've known all their life is depression. It's strange for them to have a good day. And then they only have one in a row because the next day they're thinking it's going to be worse, and it is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can't raise above your thinking. Does that make sense? You can't raise above the things that are going through your mind. If you're constantly thinking negative, oh my goodness, the devil's just loving this. It's like a mouse on a treadmill. And you're just going along and things are, you know, and you just can't get off the treadmill and your body is getting weary, you're depressed, you feel fatigued all the time because it's all negative. It's all draining energy out of your body. Did you know sickness and depression are harmful for your body? That you can actually get so sick that you have a major organ failure? And the sickness is not necessarily the kind of sickness the sickness could be in your mind. It could be what you're thinking. And it seems to draw negativity. But the good news is, if we have the mind of Christ, we can speak to the spirit of heaviness. The Bible calls it a spirit of heaviness. That spirit of heaviness can put up a stronghold right in your mind. And you seemingly can't get out of it. It keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. Listen, look what the Word of God says. He'll take the spirit of heaviness and give you the garment of praise. You say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Oh, then what you're telling me is that it works for everybody else. God said it, but it doesn't work for you. I don't think so. Why don't you continue to speak it? Let it come out of your mouth. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I don't know if this is making sense, but we have control over our eternal destiny. If we do not make it into heaven, it's not going to be because God did something to keep us from there. It's because we would not receive everything that he has for us. There is no problem, there is no situation, there's no circumstance, no matter how big, that someone somewhere has not went through. The problem is your circumstances overtaken your mind. And when that happens, you have to fight like crazy. Nobody's saying that it's not painful. Nobody's saying that it's not real. But you have to take complete control over your mind. You say, I've tried, it doesn't work. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking until that mind finally gives away. You've got to keep pounding at it and pounding at it and pounding at it. Oh, my. I just want you to know that this church binds with you. It will help you. our pastors preaching some marvelous messages. And some of the messages this weekend were awesome. I don't know about you, but I like the garment of praise. I like the garment of praise. I mean, I'm pretty happy most of the time, except for a couple minutes in the morning when my wife asked me a dumb question. Just kidding. I never get mad at my sweetheart. Thou shalt not lie. Well, meanwhile, back at the ranch, I should have had sunglasses on. I wouldn't have seen her look. Yeah, it must be out of my mind. Thank you. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Here's a scripture that is another, to me, almost unbelievable scripture. And it's found in Matthew 18:18. And this scripture is so powerful. It's like filled with jewels, if you will. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever Tim Knot binds on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. Can you put your name in that and comprehend what the Lord is saying there? Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So if that's the case, whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What authority we've been given. So why are we depressed? Why are we fearful? Why are these things still bothering us? Because we haven't allowed the Word of God to sink so deep into our heart, it becomes a spiritual reflex. That the God's Word has to be in us to a point where we can recite it. We're not talking about 1,000 scriptures here, folks. We're talking about your little problem, surrounded by the Word of God. Drag it back into the cage where it came from, and don't let it out again. And the way you get it back into the cage, that part of your mind is to speak the Word of God in lieu of the things that have been coming to your mind. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 18:19. And again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done unto them of my Father which is in heaven. Whew. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You ought to just pair off and go, two here, two here, two here, two here, two here. Get together and start talking about what your issues in life are. Guess who's right there? Jesus Christ. Why do you think it's so our prayer meetings are so powerful? We get 200 to 300 people at the prayer meeting, and we're agreeing on things as the pastor, whoever's leading the prayer meeting. They bring things to our attention, and our mind is not clouded up with the world or the things of the world and the cares of this life. And that synergy, that power that's in unity, that power that's in the oneness of God, the power that's in being in one mind, in one accord. Woo! The only problem I see in our monthly prayer meeting is that it is only monthly. Does that make any sense? See, but you don't have to wait until 200 people are together. You could just find a prayer partner. That prayer partner. Ask God, Lord, now find me someone that I can partner up with that I can be held accountable. We did this for a couple of years. It really worked out well. Find someone that you feel comfortable with. And, you know, you have to tell your prayer partner what's going on in your life. And so you've got to have some kind of a good relationship with them and make sure that they're not Chatty Cathy, you know, got to tell everything they hear. But listen, I'm hurting inside, brother. I need someone to talk to today. I need, this is what happened. I just lost my job, or my kids are out of control, or my marriage is hurting. You know, I need your support. Would you pray with me? So there you two get together, and you start praying, and guess who's there right in the midst? Jesus Christ. Two or more are gathered together in my name, agreeing on any one thing. Praise God. Sometimes, you know, we talk about breakthroughs. I think more than often we need breakdowns. We need to break down the barriers that are keeping us from receiving the mind of God. We need to tear down the barrier that our fear is focused on. We need to tear down our barrier for our weaknesses. We need to address them in the kingdom of God. We need to be able to be honest and open with the Almighty God. Listen, every one of us here today has weaknesses. If you don't have weaknesses, then you are guilty of lying. So why not just bring them out in the open? Confess them to God. He's faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins and all your iniquities. But the tendency in the body of Christ is to hide. Who told you you were naked? Oh my God, does he know? You think God didn't know when you sinned the last time? Come on. Sure he did. But you know what he's waiting for? He's waiting for you to acknowledge it. He's waiting, you know, when I get a bad attitude, sometimes I'll go a couple of days and God slaps me off the side of the head and I say, oh my God, was I really thinking that? I wasn't really going to punch him, was I? Oh, but you know what? You feel so good when you confess your faults to one another. You feel so great when you've cleaned out the bottomless pit of your mind. Oh, praise God. You know, God doesn't need our ability. He needs our total mind. He needs you to be body, soul, mind, and spirit. And that is a challenge. The mind, I believe, is the biggest challenge for me personally, is to focus to the point where I am engulfed with the Word of God. I am engulfed with a mission. I have a passion that cannot be put out. It feels like my bones are shut up, the fire in my bones. I want to do something for God. I want to become part of the kingdom of God on another level. Praise God. If we're in our right mind, we believe Luke 1:37. The Bible says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I read that for years and didn't even realize there was another scripture in there that Jesus turned the tables on us in Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Oh my goodness. Are you sure? You sure that's for me? So the only thing that's keeping you from receiving it is believing it. And the only reason you can't believe it is because your mind is clogged down by other things. But if we clean out that mind through prayer and fasting and diligently seeking God, it's going to happen. The joy of the Lord should be our strength. But if we don't have the joy of the Lord, then it'll take us down a notch or two. We have to seek things that joy unspeakable and full of the glory of God. If you have never felt that, you need to pray to God. That's a promise. That's a promise to you. It's a promise to me. But if thou canst believe it, it's possible. It's there for you to take. Nothing is impossible for us. We've been given the authority to lay hands on the sick, and the Bible says they shall recover. We can speak to devils and cast them out of people's lives forever. And the Bible says we can remove mountains. Woo! Mountains? He must have meant molehills. Oh, he's probably a metaphor for something other than mountains. If it's God's will for that mountain to be moved, friend, that mountain's going. And if God speaks to you, his mind speaks to you, and you're his body, and you're his hands, and you're his feet, then that mountain has got to be removed. It's not going to do it because you think it'd be cool to see the mountain go. It'd be cool because God spoke it. But God can't do anything in the affairs of men until there's such a time where you understand and believe that you have the power and authority. I've heard people say, well, they might have done something great for God. Oh, it wasn't me, it was God. No, it's a partnership. God can't do anything unless you're a partner with him. He's delegated his authority to his people. His church has been given the authority to do the things that he did on this planet. Praise God. And then John 14:12, it even goes a little further. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do," I'm still working on this one, "he shall also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Really? I can have the mind of Christ? I can get to the point where I don't feel it's robbery for me to lay hands on the sick and see them recover? It should be that we expect this more than we expect failure, because we are endued with a spirit that said, "Let there be light. The great I am lives in each and every one of us." And if we can understand that and get our mind, soul, body, and spirit wrapped around that thought, there are no limitations, because if there's no limitations on God, there's no limitations on us. And I think I'll put a little disclaimer there: according to his will. He's not wanting you to go out there willy-nilly. But when the mind of Christ speaks, does this make sense to you? The mind of Christ speaks to you, not to me, to you. And he tells you, "This is what I want you to do, and this is how you're going to do it, and this is what I want you to say, and these are the words I want you to say. Just do it." What's the worst thing that could happen? That when God's used me in this dimension, I've never one time failed. I went to hospital rooms. I'm in this city, and I went up there because I felt God had called me up there. And praise God, he's never failed me yet. And then I think about this young King David, who couldn't even fit into the armor of an average man in the army of Israel. And he comes waltzing up there with the mind of God. How did he do that? Well, I've heard a lot of theories. I believe God spoke to him and began to talk to him and nudged him. I don't know about you, but I'd be a little afraid if there was a John Repka plus six standing there with a big spear and says, "Come on over here, Shorty.
I'm coming. You're just taking me away."
No. God is so amazing. If you are out of your mind, that carnal mind, that mind that has fear and doubts, you've got to be out of that mind and into the mind of Christ. Praise God. The 20,000 soul revival that we've been talking about and praying about for a good number of years, guess what? It's right here in the body of Christ. It's not going to be when some big time evangelist comes through. It's going to be every revival that I've ever read about started with, I'm talking about revival where hundreds of thousands of people came into the kingdom of God. Started with one or two people, usually one, that had such a burden for souls that they couldn't stand it anymore. And they began to weep and to cry out to God and began, Jesus is always looking for intercessors, people that have the mind of God. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Do you think we could weep over Madison, Wisconsin, the capital of sin in the alternate lifestyle in the United States? This city is so liberal, they only have left turns here. It's crazy. It's crazy. And if you decide to turn right, they'll yell and scream at you and shake their fist. That's all right with me. See, I'm not expecting people to agree with me. When they oppose me, I just want Jesus' approval. If he tells me to say it, I'm going to say it. If I have to spend time in jail for telling people the truth, if I have to come across this pulpit and say, "Well, I'm sorry, sir, but an alternate lifestyle is going to send you to hell. I can't put it any other way, and I've got a multitude of scripture to prove that. So help me when I say this. If that offends you, I'm so very sorry. It's not that I hate you. It's just the things that you're doing are an abomination to God, and there's no middle ground compromise like everybody's saying. Freedom from religion. Never forget what Brother Glenn Usman told the head of the Freedom From Religion. He corner up at the Park Motor Inn. And she felt his spirit and her spirit were not compatible, and he had to run after her. She was so afraid of him. He was just a young whippersnapper then, kind of a Stone King lookalike. But praise God. All right, but this 20,000 soul revival, think about it. Wouldn't you love to be a part of it? If I'm still here, I'm going to be a part of it. I don't know what God's going to do, but I'm going to continue to seek him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we do that, we're not going to lose. We can't lose. I remember Irv Manley told me years ago, and my business was prospering, and things were just the best I've ever had. I made more money than I ever made in my life, and I started feeling God call me into the ministry, and it seemed so confusing because I had such a hard time getting the business off the ground. And I said, Brother Manley, I said, this really is confusing to me. I said, I think God's calling me to the ministry. He looked, didn't even, you know how Herb was. He didn't even hesitate. He said, that's no problem. Really? I'm struggling this for a month. He said, just prepare yourself as you're going to be used. And if you're not used, so what? You'll win a lot of souls. Bye. I felt like a train just went over me. And immense wisdom. And I've used that so many times with young men and women who said they feel a call to minister. Good. Prepare yourself. Don't wait until you sign a little card that says you're a preacher for the United Pentecostal Church. You need to get some corn in the crib. You need to get some souls under your belt. You need to get a wigwam with some souls hanging out of it. Not for pride purposes, but you need to give credence to the devil. He'll squash you like a bug if you walk into this thing not ready to fight the good fight, because it's not going to be easy. You know, every time I hear somebody wanting to become a minister, I'm thinking to myself, oh, you're wanting to make less money than you've ever made. You're going to want people calling you at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're going to have people who really don't want to be helped. They just want your time, calling you day and night. And then if you don't give them what they want, then they start threatening you to kill you. I said, that's cool. But see, this is, you better think about those things before you say I do to Jesus, because there is no discharge from this army. You just can't walk away from this. You better sit down and count the cost. I don't know where that came from, but I hope somebody's got it. I want to turn your attention to John 1:1, and I use this, one of these, it's one of my power scriptures because I love this scripture. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. See, that same God that dwells inside of us is the God that made all things. That's the same God who was the Word, and the Word was God. In John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this same God now is living inside of me. When the Word became flesh, it gave me the opportunity to partake in something that's never been. Mankind's never had the opportunity to partake in before. We have been given the power to become the sons and daughters of the living God. That to me is a mind blower. John 17:20. I love this passage of scripture. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one with us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You have to read 17:21, that they all may be one, that your name, that you might be one with Jesus Christ. Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus Christ called you. He's ordained you. He's given us the gift of eternal life if we'll be disciplined enough to make a conscious effort to start pursuing him with body, soul, mind, and spirit. Praise God. John 17:23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Jesus in Brother Knopp, and God in Jesus, that they may be made perfect in one. It's a perfect match. When Jesus tells us that he's going to be in you, and that God loves you as you have loved me. Woo. I tell you, I'm so excited now about my relationship with God. Not that I feel like I've attained anything, but, you know, this last fast helped me refocus. Helped me to become, I guess, aware of where I'm at. And we don't always get that opportunity to do a self-examination. Praise God. There are a lot of people throughout the scripture that in the estimation of the world, they were crazy. They think, what were they thinking when Moses took 3 million people on a dead-end road to the sea? The Egyptians no doubt said, this guy's crazy. He's fallen right into a trap here. They can't go. We've got them. That old buzzard, we finally going to get him. He brought a staff with him. Who'd think that a guy could let 3.5 million people go across dry ground by touching the water with his staff? I'm sure they all said he must be crazy. What did the prophets of Baal think about when Elijah challenged 450 of them? They must have thought, this guy's crazy. We're going to destroy this guy. No, it didn't happen that way. We have been given access to the mind of Christ. The fullness of the Godhead lives inside of me, and I have to keep reminding myself, we are the temple of God. Jesus said, my sheep shall hear my voice, and another they shall not hear. I remember being up at the UW Wisconsin Hospital Trauma Center, sitting in the waiting room. I think Brother Yusman was with me. And the doctors came in and kind of began talking to a lady up there. And they told her, your husband is not going to make it through the night. She didn't flinch. She had a steely resolve about her. And if he does make it through the night, he's going to be a vegetable. And then Lori Merker said, my husband is not going to die. And I'm thinking, they're back in the break room, they're saying, yeah, right. You hear what she said out there? She's under a lot of stress. She actually thinks that he can come out of this. He didn't have oxygen for 25, 26 minutes. Are you kidding me? He's vegetable. We could put him on VeggieTale. That's the best we could hope for. But the way she said it, I believed it. And God believed it. Why did that happen? Because Lori had the mind of Christ. God didn't want Jeff to pass. He was waiting for the Goliath to come out of Lori. He shall not die, and he's going to walk out of this hospital. And sure enough, he did. Praise God. Can you imagine back in the break room what they were saying? Laughing. Then their sister Moran, they must have thought you were wacky when you said, I'm sorry. You have to take this chemo, Sister Moran, or Peggy, or you're going to die. She says, I'm not going to die, and I'm not taking the chemo. My God's going to heal my body. Thank you, Jesus. You see the connection here? It comes out of your mouth. You speak things that are in agreement with God's word. I shall not die, I shall live. Praise God. We become, the Bible says, the voice of his word. His word cannot come back void, but God needs a voice. The angels gave voice in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have been given the right to speak his word on behalf of circumstances and situations in our life and expect them to be fulfilled. It's just that we have to get out of this mindset, I'm waiting on God. God says, no, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on God. Take control. Take control. Be strong. Be powerful. You say, I don't feel powerful. It doesn't make any difference. Is anyone here ready for a breakthrough tonight? Is any of you here ready to break through these things that have plagued you for years? Now, if anything that I've spoken about may have plagued your mind, you know, I know people that have had fears for years, literally, and they can't even remember when it started. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. That's what the mind of God says. But you say, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that. Well, then get to on your knees and start speaking against the spirit of fear. The Bible says fear has torment. We don't need to have the spirit of fear. We can actually speak to that spirit. That stronghold will come tumbling down. Anybody believe that besides me? If you'd stand with me. I don't care how long you've been in bondage to whatever sin or circumstance in your life. This could be the very best day of your life. You could leave here and not change one thing and hide behind your issues. Or you could say, you know what? I think it's time for me to break out. I think it's time for me to progress down the road towards Calvary. Hey, without faith, it's impossible to please him. If God has all of these things under control, why would we want not to be delivered? That's my thinking anyway. Why not? Let's have the musician start singing. If anybody would, why don't you just bow your head? I know sometimes it becomes embarrassing for people to come to the front, but I would say this. If you are struggling with an issue, I don't care what it is, just lift up your hand and we'll come over and pray with you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. There's a couple hands come up. There's three hands up. Look around, you that know how to pray. Let's get together with these precious people and let's make an effort to help them be released from the power of the things that are bugging them. There's a lady back here, one over here. Why not take control of your mind? Don't let your mind...